Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question or comment, press 1. That puts you in queue. Today is Memorial Day Celebration 184. Michael will talk about that a little more. We do already have a caller online, but first let's welcome Michael.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. We are absolutely delighted to be here to share the ancient Aramaic tools of forgiveness with you, and glad that you're here to be part of the process. When Jeannie speaks of Memorial Day, as we do every day, we invite everyone who's listening to the show to be part of the process of eradicating war from planet Earth and creating a space of peace. How do we do that? Well, the request is that each of us, each day, take at least one situation where there's some form of hostility or fear that we're probably pointing at somebody else, and to be willing to forgive that hostility or fear. Forgiveness not being about letting that person off the hook because your mind is generating some form of hostility or fear, but rather removing what never belonged from your structure in the first place, that is the hostility and fear that you are experiencing. So we're here to support you in that process. If you are not sure just what I mean by that, because, of course, we've been given a Greek idea. We've been told we forgive each other and then things get better. And I'd offer that that is a very, very poor substitute for the actual original Aramaic work of forgiveness, which is about changing the inside rather than pretending that what's going on in the inside is caused by the outside, and if we just let them off the hook, then the inside will get better. Because, of course, if you let somebody off the hook outside of you for what's going on inside of you, it changes nothing inside of you. The ancient Aramaic idea of forgiveness gives you the technology and how to go inside yourself and delete the very capacity for any form of hostility or fear. And so that's our invitation to you. Pick something today. Grab a worksheet. If you're not familiar with the worksheet, please go to whyagain.com. That's whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says download worksheets. It's about 6 links down. The first 5 links under that listing will give you the whole forgiveness process and the how-to of it. So we invite you to please pick up the worksheet, put the pen to the paper. Watch what happens. It's amazing. And we are on day nine of our countdown to December 31st. A group of folks came together. It's not too late to start. You could just carry your commitment on a little further into the year if you wanted to. But David Hayes, I don't know, is David with us? Welcome, David.
Thank you, Michael.
David Hayes, who's the center manager at Heartland, came up with a countdown where 9 days ago we started a group of people that I think is totaling probably around 20 or 20 plus. We don't know everybody that's doing it. People who are doing 5 worksheets a day for the next 40 days. And that 40th day takes us into December 31st, into the new year. What a way to clean up the old year and move into the new year with a clean slate. And so A number of people have joined in the process with David, including Jeannie and myself. We've been doing worksheets here like they're going out of style, and actually I'm getting ready within the next day or so to post a new worksheet to the website. There are some changes that have come about as a result of the intense focus we've been doing on the forgiveness process, and David, I'll get that off to you sometime in the next little bit. So we're delighted that you're here. Is Dr. Tim with us? No sign of Dr. Tim yet. Okay. So, David, anything to share with us? Anything to report?
It's a beautiful day in Theodosia. It's cold. It's cool. It's warming up. The sky is clear, and it's one of those beautiful fall days here. And great to hear that there's so many people that are keeping their agreement. And if there's anyone that's listening that's been playing this forgiveness game and doing 5 worksheets for the next 40 days, if you have some thoughts or comments or feedback for us, how it's going for you, it'd be very helpful to get to hear from you so that we can support you and we can support other people that are considering coming in and playing. And along that line also, and we'll be coming up, Michael and I are talking about a program to do that carries us through 2012, and we'll be talking about that as the days get a little closer. And I think the last week, we're planning to do something special on the radio show to get ready for 2012. So just a little seed planted there. Things are going well.
Awesome. Jeannie, do we have any callers or anything happening in the chat room?
Nothing going on in the chat room, but we do already have a caller.
Say again?
Nothing's going on in the chat room, but we do have 2 callers.
Awesome. Well, let's hear from our callers. That would be fabulous.
The first one is area code 330.
Area code, yes.
Welcome to 330. Sounds like Art.
You are correct in that assumption.
Hello, Art. It's a delight to hear from you. For those who don't know who Art is, yesterday we spoke about Art Drentlaw, who's a friend of ours from Ohio, who's created this awesome device that is going to change the world in terms of water supplies. And the fact that his son, a couple of days ago, Zach, who we asked everybody to hold in a blessing, committed suicide 2 days ago. And so, Art, we're glad to hear from you, and we certainly have your family in our hearts.
Well, thank you for all your prayers, and I believe this is the David that's on the line that sent me the email, and I want to thank you very much for that, and excuse me if I get a little emotional here, but I want to thank you for that. Is this the David sent me the email on the
David?
Line?
Okay. Yes, that is David, and no excusing necessary. We're holding our emotions as well and breathing through it. It's definitely a surprising turn of events that has taken us all by surprise and shock.
Yes, and it was very gratifying to hear again. I know I heard a little bit of it, but the progress that and the awakening that Zachary did have while he was down there. And I'm beginning to understand what he must have been going through and, you know, the disappointments that he had in his life, but I can also see the brilliance that he was able to share with you guys. I saw it once when you were telling me about how he fixed this one thing in the kitchen. It reminded me of a story that I had forgotten where when he was like 3 or 4 years old, we were having problems with our car, and we were talking about it out loud, and then he was gone for a while, and he crawled underneath the car, and he was attempting to try and fix the water pump at 3 or 4 years old in the car because the way we were describing it, that's what he thought the problem was.
Wow, really? Well, you know, it was pretty awesome at Heartland when this was a problem that had gone on for several years. And it was just like amazing because he just took one look at it and he knew exactly what to do. And I think that sadly, and as I shared with you earlier today, like a nephew of mine, his speech abilities and his ability to communicate what was going on the inside didn't come through on the outside. And sadly, in our culture, that means the child takes a lot of beatings, a lot of verbal, a lot of emotional. I know my nephew who had a similar speech capacity to what Zach had when he was in school. And one of the issues that came up in his tenure at Heartland, he was there for about 5 years full-time through the summer and all the intensives. But one of the issues that came up was his grief and great, I mean, just unbelievable trauma at because he had a speech impediment at kids at school putting cigarettes out on him, butting their cigarettes on his skin, forcing him to hold still and doing that. And it's just, you know, the insanity that happens when these children are not told who they are and they don't function as human beings. The things that they do are just so cruel. And as I was sharing with you, Kevin fortunately hung around long enough at Heartland to work through enough of that that he's able to carry on. But he originally came to Heartland because of an attempt at suicide. And so I wish Zach had stayed, and we acknowledge his brilliance and how he just jumped in and with such enthusiasm, you know, the sweetness of his spirit. Again, similar to my nephew Kevin, the sweetness of his spirit and the genius of his mind and the difficulty in being able to express that was unfortunately a burden that he found too heavy to carry, I guess.
Yes. Well, it's helping me understand better. And I know that he's in a much better place now, and I just hope he chooses a more wise path the next time here.
Well, I certainly join in support of that, and, you know, the whole listening audience holds him and you and your former wife and your son Chris in the light and in love, and the whole extended family that is going through such a traumatic event, especially here at the holidays. And sadly, that is a time of year when so many suicides occur because a lot of times there are family dynamics that are just not resolvable, and then people turn to so-called friends, and a lot of times the so-called friends aren't really friends at all. They're abusers. And I know that in the 5 years that Kevin was at Heartland, you know, we do a 65-day intensive each year at Heartland, so he's in intensive 65 days straight, and the layers, the levels, the trauma this young man carried was just unbelievable. And the difficulty, especially with someone with a handicap like that, is to get the point across that, okay, now you've got some work to do. You need to stick in here and do your work. There's actually an interesting video, if you haven't seen it, you might find interesting. It's called Saved by the Light. And it's a story, you can, if you Google it, it used to be on eBay, but they don't have it there anymore. But if you Google it, you can get the DVD from, I think there's actually somebody in Canada that's creating bootleg copies because it's out of print. But it's a true story about a fellow named Daniel Brinkley. And it's a powerful demonstration of the principle, because Daniel is this, as a young man, is an angry, 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 abusive kid. I mean, he likes to beat up on people. He goes into the military, and his job is that of an assassin. That's what he does. Brilliant guy, but that's what he does. And he was struck by lightning and had what the world calls a near-death experience, but really is a near-life experience where clinical death occurs, and he has a reawakening and contact with his true being, who he is, his essence, without reference to all the garbage in this body-mind unit, this carbon-based memory unit. And he comes back, and all the things that were important to him yesterday, of course, are no longer important. His fancy car and his stuff and his ego, I mean, that whole thing is just gone, and he lives as a human being. But the movie very powerfully portrays how, after having had that near-life experience, over time, all the old dynamics, all the old abusive behaviors that have not yet been resolved are resonated by events in the world and eventually come up and take him over again. The stress created, and it's a totally true story. I meet Daniel every once in a while on the road. We're traveling in similar circles. I don't know if he's been up there to your Unity Church there, but the portrayal of having had that experience, and it lasts for him for quite some time, but then the old desires come up, the old hostilities, the old fears. And as recently as about, oh, I guess 3 years ago, we saw Daniel, and, you know, he shared with us that, you know, I still go through that stuff. Those layers still come up and try to entrap me and take me out of who I am. And what Daniel does now is he travels, and in being military, he goes to VA hospitals, and he sat at the deathbeds of thousands of vets and held their hands and supported them lovingly through the deathing process so they could go consciously and be able to let go of some of that pain and trauma that comes from war. Well, a child with the kinds of a verbal handicap that my nephew, Kevin, had, and that your son, Zach, had, it's like going through a war. Their
right.
childhood is like a war. It's horrific. And the frustrations and the angers, they're an easy target. They're the easy scapegoat for everybody's frustration and anger that they come in contact with, because they have little ability to defend themselves verbally, emotionally. And that burden, I mean, it's one that needs to be lifted from our world. And I certainly join you in knowing that your commitment with the work you've done, the book you've written on the Course in Miracles, that you're about changing that dynamic in the world. It's one that's got to go. You know, there's some really specific, insane dynamics that just need to be healed in our world, and that's certainly one of them.
Yes.
And these young people that are coming up, that are subject to that kind of abuse.
Well, if it's okay, I'd like to share with everybody a little bit about the water thing and how that's progressing, because it's not just the water that's progressing. Is it okay?
Awesome. Yeah, please do. Again, as I briefly mentioned, but let me just introduce a little bit more that Art and a company that he's working with, that he's a co-founder of, have created a water unit, a drilling unit that is powered by human power. It's never been possible before, because a human being could only pump enough water to maybe get a glass, and they'd be so tired they'd sweat so much they'd have lost their glass of water. And now you've invented an awesome device that allows kids just playing in the backyard to swing on this device and move it and drill wells and pump water. And it's in use, I know, at least in Haiti. I know you've got a unit there. I'm not sure. Yeah, please share more about it, because there might just be somebody on listening audience that might know how to help to create the next level of support for this getting out to the world. It's such an awesome, awesome life changer for the world.
Okay, well, what I am going to share is I'm going to go back to the beginnings of this, and we've actually accomplished something that's supposedly, according to modern science, impossible to do. And
we
have proved, even though they use the word from the Unity Church, that's not what it's meant here. We have proven that over-unity is possible, and over-unity has to do with the laws of physics, which say you can't get out of a device more energy than you put in, but you have to remember where that source of energy comes from. And it is correct that energy cannot be created nor destroyed, only its form can be changed. So we are able to take gravitational energy, and the gravitational energy adds to the energy that we put into the device. So with an effort like pushing a child on the swing, the higher and higher the child gets as you push them on the swing, the easier and easier it is to push them, yet the more and more work that is being done. And that's what's taken place in this particular situation, so that we can pick up energy out of a falling object to the point that we are going to be able to use this in devices down the road that will produce electricity for far less cost than we're doing today, and it will be done with clean and or green and or renewable energies so that we can change that. But then again, the water is the very important part of this, because it starts at the bottom of the pyramid, and people that in third world countries now don't have any access to clean drinking water. Once we get this rolling, and I'll tell you a little bit more about moving that off of dead center in a minute, that they'll be able to go from not having any clean drinking water to being able to use this technology to set up a cottage industry and become self-sustaining. And one of the reasons that it hasn't worked is because the timing hasn't been right. We had to fight to give these away to give the one in Haiti away for free. Nobody wanted to take it for free. And then finally we found somebody to take it for free. We wanted to give one away free to Native Americans, and none of the Native American groups we contacted would take it for free because the timing wasn't right. The groups that are helping the people right now basically want to keep people at a subsistence level. We're going to give you just enough water or just enough this to survive so that you're dependent on us and for the rest of your livelihood, which I think is almost as criminal as not, you know, not giving them any drinking water at all kind of situation.
I agree.
But that's changing. It's changing to the point where one of our biggest investors comes from overseas, and I met him through a long process, which I won't go through now, but a Chinese guru over there who has the same philosophy as the Dalai Lama has gotten together a group of Chinese businessmen that are no longer wanting to do business the old Chinese way with slave labor with the children and want to get rid of the 35,000 deaths that occur, the abortions of 35,000 that occur every day. And they want to get rid of that. And they also don't like the fact that their countrymen steal other people's technology and copy it and things of that nature. So we're in the beginning stages of forming a joint venture in where everything will be done through what I put together called the Namaste Covenant, in which we all treat one another at a higher level of being than instead of at our human level of being. And this is the way we've all decided to do business in this joint venture. So we're pretty excited about it, and they're pretty confident that they can bring the money together to get this thing off the ground, and then we can build these water pumps in all different sizes. And as you know, the Chinese people are now moving back out into the rural areas again instead of being all cooped up in the city areas. So this is going to be a fantastic way to get this off the ground and become an example of the way companies should do business.
Awesome. Well, that's really fabulous, Art. And a couple of thoughts I have is when you speak about instead of the old human way, actually one of the things that I've discovered in this work is that what's happened is human life has been removed from the earth, and part of our process, part of our purpose in this work is to restore human life to these things that look like human bodies.
Yes.
Because there's no human life left on the earth, hardly at all. And the way that we define now, and you might find this useful in what you're doing, is just hold a newborn child and you know what a human life is. You know, think back to the first time you held Zach.
Yes.
If you were to put a descriptor on your direct experience of Zach as a newborn, what was it?
Yeah, we have a little child in our lives right now that's just 1 year old, and this little boy is so amazing. You could just see the light in his eyes, and I'm discovering that all over again, and it's really
human life. That's human life. And what the culture does, as you're talking about with these people who are so-called helping the third world nations but keeping them in subsistence in order to keep their own paychecks and their own funding moving,
right.
What's happened is that human life has been beat and abused and battered out of them until there's no human life left. And what looks like a human body functions out of the hostilities and fears of all of those beatings. And that forgiveness is about removing those hostilities and fears, not letting other people off the hook because they beat us, but if I have pain over having been beaten, my first order of business is to clean out the pain that I carry that compromises my intelligence and my capability and becomes such a burden that I find it difficult to move through my life. And then as I do that forgiveness process, that's where I get a rediscovery and literally a rebirth into an actual human life, which is the active presence of love, as you're talking about these Chinese businessmen. That is human love. It is starting to function as humans were designed to function. The world's just beat it out of us. And so that sounds like an awesome project. And I know you've got a website that people can go look at a video of. Actually, yes. I know there's one video on there of you doing this thing with, standing there pumping water in ease and comfort in a dress shirt where you're not even sweating.
That's right.
In the past, you'd have been soaked in sweat to do such a thing. So share your website with us.
It's three words run together, the word gravity, the word assisted, and the word power, gravityassistedpower.com. And you'll see several different videos that are on there. The other two cool things that have to do with water that came about with this, and one of these I haven't told you about yet, Michael, but you might know about it. The first water treatment system that we put on there didn't do the job that we wanted it to do, so we went out and searched again for another one. And now we have a water treatment system on there that is more advanced than the water treatment system that is on the space shuttle. And we can put the water through there all by hand. We did a demonstration where we went out to a river here in Ohio that was filled with all kinds of nice things. We put it in a fish tank and you could barely see through it. Then we went around and scooped up some duck droppings, mixed those all in there, and we did a bacteria test before and after. And before the bacteria test, the untreated water was at something like 14 million parts per million, I forget the exact terminology, of E. coli-type bacteria in there, which is like three or four times more powerful than raw sewage coming in from the city. And we put it through the drinking water system and drank it coming out the other end and checked the bugs out at the other end, and the kill was better than 99.9999% of all the bugs were gone.
Awesome.
And that's the other. And then another thing that we've discovered is they have a way now to put water through a vortex, a mechanical-type vortex, which does the same thing that water does in nature by going down a mountain stream for several miles. And it erases the memory of all the bad chemicals that were in the water, and it puts the natural light in the water, and you can photograph this water with a special camera system that they've set up for this, and you can see the light energy that's in the water.
Awesome.
In fact, they did a test out in Florida, not in Florida, in California, where they just ran the water through this device and fed strawberries with it, and it brought those strawberries back to life as if they were dosing it heavily with fertilizer. All from just restructuring the water back to its natural state.
That's awesome. So there are videos and information on all of that for anybody who's interested on
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that there's information on all those things on gravityassistedpower.com, your website?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, anything else to share with us in that regard?
No, that everything is... It's all moving forward now. It's been clogged up for quite some time, and we were trying to figure out what's going on. But I think it's all coming together because of the timing of everything.
Awesome. Well, that's powerful. Something else that, if you're not aware of it, you might find interesting to watch and maybe connect in with these folks. Is there's a website out there with a video on it that you can watch for free, or actually it's on YouTube, and there is a link. Jane's got a link on our website to it, and the movie is Thrive, and the website is thrivemovement.com, And the movie, and it ties right into what you were saying about the way that people in the third world are being held down by those who count on them being down in order to get themselves a paycheck and have some power and some political clout. But if you haven't seen Thrive, jump on Google and Google it, and you'll find it to watch free. It's about a two-hour film, and it is awesome what they put together. There's also, as I say, a link on our website that Jeannie has set up. So if you haven't seen that, we invite you to take a look at it. And, of course, everybody else that can, it will tell you so much about the inside story. It's absolutely amazing how powerfully and how beautifully they've put this Thrive together. The name of the movie is Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
Okay, and if you would, please tell Chris we said hello again, and I would love to spend more time with him on the phone when it's appropriate for him. Yesterday when I contacted him, it sounded like there wasn't much time or space, and it was a little awkward opening the conversation, but I certainly would love to spend more time with him and see what support we can be.
I'll do that.
All right, we love you, Art, and thank you for your call. It's really nice to talk with you.
You're welcome. Best thank you, everybody.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we breathe together with you, Art, and your whole family, as we bid adieu to Zach, who chose to leave just a couple of days ago. And we see all the clouds clearing from his field, that he is welcomed into the light and into the love and into the arms of God. We breathe together to support you and support him and your whole family. Jeannie, do we have another caller, did you say?
Yes, we do. Area code 336. You're on the air.
336, where are you calling from? And give us a name.
Hi, this is Paula Davis, Greensboro, and I was at the Unity All Week event you did about 3 weeks ago.
Awesome. Hi, Paula.
Hi. I don't know where to start.
Well, let's start somewhere, and let's start with breathing, and how can we support you?
Well, the first thing I'm noticing is that I've been on these calls since last week and yesterday, too, and I had called in, and I hung up so that I wouldn't have to talk, and I'm realizing it's because I never think that what's going on with me is important enough when everybody else has got stuff that were really, really horrible that they're having to deal with. You know, and
so
I woke
Paula,
up this morning feeling like I don't matter, and I act like that. I don't let people know I need anything or that I'm hurting.
So, Paul, I'm here to support you, and knowing that you count 100% here right now, you are worth 100% of our attention. And you know something? You don't have to do anything to deserve that. Just because the Creator put the breath of life in you, you deserve all of our intention. And that makes you of primo importance right here, right now. And I'd support you doing some worksheets and forgive this reality that you don't count. You know, if we look back into your early life and inquire about your power person, I just about guarantee that one of the messages you got from your power person was, you don't matter, you don't count, we don't have time for you. Is that accurate?
Well, that's pretty much. And you know, I was blind and not present to any of this until April, and yesterday's call was so upsetting, I really couldn't talk if I got off. And because of Zach, and what was there that in April, I tried to commit suicide and I wasn't successful. And part of me is not happy that I wasn't. You know, like, I don't want to feel pain anymore, and I don't feel like I'm ever going to get beyond it. You know, like, it's just never going to go away.
So that's one of the lies of the culture, is there's nothing you can do about your pain. just kind of have to live with it. In fact, as you live with it, we'll be glad to sell you pills so you won't have to feel it.
Right.
And I offer that's just a simple lie, Paula. It's just not true. The truth is that every bit of pain that any of us have taken on, every fear, every hostility, every grief can be worked through. And I guarantee that in your bloodline, you're not the first one who could be making this phone call. I bet if you think back, you could easily imagine that either Dad or Mom would have made the same phone call.
Well, I found out something, too, that I haven't told my sisters. And, like, this has all been happening in the last really short period of time. And then, you know, doing your workshop, I'd gotten to a plateau where I felt good. And, of course, after the breathing, the still point breathing, and the week was over, I've been nothing but in pain since that day, I mean, the day after. And one of the things I found out, an article, a yellow, green, green, what am I trying to say, a newspaper article fell out of a book that I picked up off of a shelf at an aunt's house. I don't even know why I picked the book up. I can't even tell you why. I don't even know what the name of the book was. And what fell out was this article. And I started reading it. And it was an article that was in the newspaper in 1954 of my mom being hospitalized for trying to commit suicide when she was 8.5 months pregnant with me. And I've never shared that with my sisters. And I was just so shocked, I just stuck it back in and put it away.
So my offering, Paula, would be that when you did that week of workshops and that breath work and you moved through so many layers,
right,
you reached a new level of empowerment. And I'd offer that your guidance system, your intuition, took you to your aunt's house to put your hands on that book so that you would know what the next layer of your work is. And, you know, we're not promising that doing one's work is a Dr. Feelgood process. As you're doing it, it means facing and dealing with that. And literally, every thought, every feeling, every depressive thought that led your mother to attempting to commit suicide while you were still in the womb is impressed upon your tissue structure and in your genetics. And if you were to go back, I guarantee that you could look at somebody further back in Mom's bloodline, grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa, and this thing of, I need to get out of here, I need to leave, and that's all it is. Suicide is just an expression of, I can't deal with what's going on inside of me, I need to leave. And, of course, leaving doesn't change what's going on inside of us. And so your intuition perfectly guided you because that was a piece of information you needed to know. The book wasn't important, but your hand knew right where to go. And here's the power of that. You know exactly what to do and the right place to go in order to do each piece of work you need to do each day. That's just an awesome feedback to you that you do know. And if you can get your pained self out of the way, you will know at every step of the way, you'll know exactly which worksheet to do. You'll know exactly what to do to surface and to clean out everything that's in hiding that causes such a pain state that you would consider suicide. And, you know, I acknowledge you for your courage because not many people hang in and go through doing that level of work. You know, I lament, and yesterday I had to do some worksheets after I first talked with Art and found out about Zach, because Zach came to Heartland 5 years ago, and we couldn't get him to stay, continue to do his work. And so I acknowledge your courage for picking up the phone today, and it took a couple of days to get that courage up, but your courage to do that, and that you are working through that pain. You are creating an opening. There's actually a fellow who's a paleontologist who created a term that was called the nuosphere, and that was the thought layer, the literal layer of magnetic energy around the planet that's made of thought. And he speaks in his work about what he called the peduncle, an opening in that. And you've created an opening for everybody on the planet who has this burden that they can't and they don't know how to lay down, you've created an opening for them to help them to move through what you're doing, and that is opening the space to heal those dynamics. And I tell you that I've seen people in suicidal rages and suicidal terror that 5 years later are so delighted to be alive and so enthusiastic about their lives because they picked up the tools and went to work with them and came out the other side. And so you're opening that wider still than it has been in the past. So I acknowledge
your courage. I just feel so like needy, and I don't know where I can get enough support. Like, I just feel like I need so much right now.
So I'll offer that we in this community, Jeannie, myself, David, Tim, and everybody that's listening to the radio show, are here to support you. We hold the space for the undoing of this pain. And certainly every day you're welcome to be on the show, and every piece of support we can give you, if there's any information or guidance or support with the worksheet process, we can give you. And we just hold that space. I know that Brad has two support groups going now, or I understand there are two support groups happening. I really strongly urge you to avail yourself of that. I actually just talked with Brad a couple of days ago, and he had, you know, he really did some major opening during that week when we were there, and he was in major healing crisis as well, and he just was able to stick to doing the work and came out the other side just on a whole new level of aliveness and excitement, and that's exactly what you're going to do, come out on a whole new level of aliveness and excitement. And when you do come out on that new level, then what's going to be happening is you're going to be empowered to handle the next deeper layer and the next deeper layer and the next deeper layer until there are no layers left. You'll just live as you were designed to live as a human being. Do you have any children?
Yes, I have a son that turned 23 2 days ago.
Oh, well, happy eternal day to your son. If you think back to the first time that you consciously held your son, if you were to put a descriptor to his presence and who he was, what would your descriptor be?
He was just pure and clean and not messed up with garbage like I am.
Yeah. So notice that he had a human life, and guess what? You've got one too. You have exactly that pure and clean space. Here's one of the things that physics teaches us. And, you know, as an example, let's say I've got an FM radio here, and I want to listen to my favorite AM station. Does it matter how many times I turn that dial back and forth on my FM radio? Am I ever going to be able to listen to the AM station?
No.
Not in a million years, because there's nowhere for the energy of the AM signal to land in my FM radio. Fortunately, that pure state of being, that clean state of being that you remember your son being in, is on a whole different frequency level from all the garbage experiences. And we have been convinced to look into this carbon-based memory system, into this body-mind unit, and believe what it has to tell us. Fortunately, whatever it tells us, as degraded as it is, can't reach into and touch our being. Our being is still 100% preserved. And when we forgive, we let go of the hypnotic state that locks us out of our being. Your true being, that pure, clean state, is totally, completely, 1,000% preserved and intact and untouched. The work is to awaken to it. And the way we awaken to it is by letting go of every hostility, every fear, every grief, every pain, every trauma. And certainly the load that your mother had to be carrying at 8.5 months to attempt suicide had to be horrendous. And, you know, this is the good news and the bad news. The good news is that you get to work through it and let go of it and be free of it. The bad news is you get to look at it, work through it, and get free of it. That's I don't know why you chose to come into this particular life at this time, into that family system with that kind of trauma. But I suspect it has something to do with the strength of your being and that you are able to handle it. And because you're doing it, that you are opening a space on the planet for people who haven't hung in to go through and to alleviate themselves of those burdens.
Well, I just have so much anger. I'm angry, you know, at me for, and at the same time, logically, I'm going, well, I only did what I knew how to do with the tools that I had, right? And I'm awake to what those, where that all came from. In April, I had been dating a man that tried to kill me, and I took him to court, and that was right after the day after the court date is when I tried to commit suicide because they let him go, and the judge had told me, like, I had wasted the court's time and that I was basically a joke and that I had not been seen by real professionals, and who did I think I was coming in there to waste their court time on an issue like this, and when I wasn't evaluated by a psychiatrist, but I was by Family Services of the Piedmont that provides services for people who don't have insurance and stuff, and she just said none of that mattered because they were all jokes. And it was as if my mother, because my mother left me when I was four, okay, after finding this other stuff out. She left when I was four, so I've always walked around thinking I must not have been good enough for her to keep me. She left. And when the judge, who happened to be a woman, said what she said, it was as if it was my mother's voice speaking to me, and I believed it in the moment.
So I would say that I would say that your judge was responding precisely to what you needed to hear, just like the reaching for that book. You weren't interested in the book. You don't know what the title is. You didn't read the book, but the piece of paper was there with the article about your mother in it.
Right.
You went to exactly the right place to show you that inside of you to clean that out. Now, at the same time, as you take responsibility for and you see the parallel and you do the forgiveness work, there's a forgiveness sheet on that to remove that process or that pain of that message from mother and the judge. It also might be time to hold the judge legally accountable for that insane conversation, because that's an insane conversation for her to have laid on you. Now, I don't know, that might be irrelevant, but
no, but I tried to pursue it, but I've got so much of my own, like, trying to deal with. I did say, isn't there something we can do about a judge that would actually sit there on the bench and say stuff to women who they know it's terrible to try to come in there and face up to, you know, because we don't do that. How many women don't take the time to go to court over issues like this? And the Family Services said they said, well, you can't touch judges and it's impossible to do anything. And they said that I was the third woman that they had done that to, that they had represented or had helped get to court to bring something like this to the attention of the courts. And this same judge had done this to I was the third one. And so she has some problem, and I don't have the energy to pursue it. I don't know how to even start, especially when this big authority figure called Piedmont Family Services told me, we're afraid of her, and we don't know what to do. And I said, well, you guys were negligent to let me go in there in the courtroom with her presiding.
I understand. So let's be clear that there are two different issues here. One is your issue of healing. It was a perfect circumstance for you to walk into, to hear that message and to be reminded that your forgiveness work is about removing that conversation from your mother.
Right.
That's perfect. So that's your inside work. Now, your outside work, I don't know. Your outside work might be to just let that go and forget it. I just want to put into the space that when you take responsibility for your pain and when you forgive and work through your pain that does not in any way, shape, or form mean that you don't hold the person in front of you who does some form of aberrant behavior, that you don't hold them accountable. You know, perhaps there's a, you know, a lot of cities now have a segment in the newspaper where they confront, where the little guy can't take on the big guys, which I certainly understand because you just don't have the resources, but where they step up with their muscle. There might be a newspaper there, I don't know, or maybe a state newspaper, or maybe a national newspaper that might step in and do an expose on something like that. Because that's really, you know, so often women especially, this is another, you know, with art in our conversation today, I spoke about the insanity of what's done to kids who have some form of a verbal, emotional, or mental handicap and the abuse that's done to them. Well, that's one of the insanities that needs to go, but this really addresses another one that needs to be taken care of on our planet, and that is that women are abused in ways that are promoted as acceptable in our culture. And it's insane, and it's bizarre, and it needs to stop. Somebody needs to step forward to hold them accountable. Now, again, I'm not saying that's your job. It sounds like you've got plenty on your plate. If you do your work and heal yourself, you perhaps have done plenty. But perhaps, you know, communicating with Piedmont and letting them know that they need to be doing something, and maybe just a little bit of research on who might have the muscle that can step in and change that, because that is unconscionable for a judge, for a woman who comes forward who's abused, to be so abused by the courts is unconscionable.
Right.
And I certainly hold the space that that judge and any judge that would do such a thing would be held accountable, as well as any officer of any state, local, city, federal court, or legal entity, police or anything else, that they be held legally accountable for that. Because it's time
right.
for that abuse to end in our culture.
Yeah, I thought pursuing that would give me a direction and a like I'm contributing back to the world in some way, and that it would help me heal. And then you know I just got really sick, and I'm now like just you know my doctor's trying to get my body back to normal because she said you know you've just been under too much stress. You've burnt out your adrenals. You've got to get yourself healthy again. So I
right.
had to just drop that. But I am looking, you know, listening to Art talk about the water. I mean, my heart is like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. 2 years ago I said I got rid of everything. I don't own anything. I just have an old car. And I said I want to be able to go and make a difference in the world with having clean water for people to drink, you know, and if I threw myself into something like that, I wouldn't have to focus or feel all this stuff. You know,
well,
I'd have
but here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. If you go to throw yourself into something so you won't have to feel it, what it is that you don't want to feel is going to kill you. That's the energy that creates your diseases. So I'd offer, do both. Rather than throwing yourself in, and so many people in our culture, busyness in our culture is a drug. Why are so many people so busy you can't have a two-minute conversation with them? Because they're drugging themselves with busyness in order not to feel. And watch what kind of crazy things happen in their family systems and in the culture. And it's so my invitation to you would be rather than just, oh, well, I'll throw myself into something so I can get lost and not deal with this, rather, I'm going to throw myself into something, and that something's going to be the healing of myself. And then, do I want to make a difference in the world? Can I do something with water? Yeah, I can do that too. But rather than a substitute for healing, please do the healing work as you do that. And here's why. Number one, your body isn't going to die. You're not going to suffer from the kind of traumas that are going on right now. And two, you're going to be 1,000 times more powerful at bringing about the changes in whatever, you know, purpose you choose to take on. You'll be far, far more powerful at doing it. And
right.
so that would be my vote for you. And, you know, one of the things we do at Heartland, we have a 2-year work support program. And
right.
if you're but loose and fancy free, you might want to look at doing that two-year program and doing your work in the context of a space where there's support for healing. And that's what Heartland is about. And our two-year program doesn't require a penny of you. It does require that you can handle your bills if you have any debt. And
right.
Aside from just, you know, personal, you know, toiletries and that sort of thing,
right.
There's no requirement for money. The work support program includes food and housing, everything. So you'd have no electric bill or no food bill, or, you know, if you chose to have a cell phone, of course, that would be up to you. But if you can handle your personal, you know, as long as you're not deeply in debt, that
right.
might be an option of a way to step in and get support and spend a concentrated piece of your life in doing that, and then jump into doing something like perhaps working with Art. You know, you've got his website, so you can contact Art through the website, and that is
right.
gravityassistedpower.com. And,
yeah, I've written it down. There's something in me that, like, because I don't have any debt. I got rid of everything so that I'd be free to go and do something in a third world country or contribute something somewhere and be, you know, just do that and be at peace and get out of this world that I'm in, this crazy, you know, fast-paced life that I don't like anymore. So I do have that. I've got my life set up so that there's nothing to hold me here. And my son is raised and on his own. And
as opposed to doing the geographic cure, I'm going to get out of here, what you want to be doing is jumping deeper into your life to move through what you need to heal.
Right.
And that's why I'm suggesting that, you know, that two-year program at Heartland might be an option, because, of course,
yes.
you'd be supporting, I don't know what your skills are, but if it's something that we can work out, you'd be supporting the delivery of forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and the improvement of Heartland as a space to be the foundation place for the work. So,
right. Well, I have skills coming out the wazoo and can't get a job in Greensboro. So that's another, you know, just another source of anger and upset. And I can't prove age discrimination.
Can I interrupt you for a minute? Can I interrupt
yeah.
you? Because if you hook your anger and upset into the fact that you can't get a job, then you'll think that what has to happen for you to heal your anger and upset is you have to be able to get a job. That's a lie your mind tells you. You're not angry and upset because you can't get a job. You're angry and upset because inside of you there's anger and upset. The job is just a place to project it. You know, a relationship is just a place to project it. A lack of money is just a place to project it. A judge is just a place to project it. That's all projection. Any object of attention will do for that anger. You're angry because inside of you there's a reality called anger. Forgiveness is about going in and removing your anger. So that whatever circumstance showed up, you know, the worst financial circumstances in the world, the worst judge in the world, the worst relationship in the world, and you maintain that awesome, clean, clear presence of love that you truly are, rather than getting lost in the pain of a thousand generations that thinks that life is hopeless and they're helpless. And as you forgive, that's where you'll arrive. And that's what our whole body of work is about. And I'm sure that, and I hope that tomorrow we'll probably hear from some folks who have some of the same concerns and same conversation as you, and you've opened an awesome space for us to talk about these issues, and it's fabulous to be able to. And
yeah.
So if there's, we're down to just a few seconds. I just realized
okay.
Jean just gave me the signal. So I'm going to have to close the call off, but you're welcome to call back in tomorrow if there's more we can do to support you. And there are a couple of other callers. Please call in first thing tomorrow, and we'll look forward to speaking with you at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.